Pakistan will go to the polls tomorrow, with ex-international cricketer Imran Khan shaping up as a favourite to take the top job. Many in Pakistan are questioning his meteoric rise, however, with Pakistan's military again being accused of widespread interference in the process. Will Pakistan elect the great all-rounder? Viktor Petrovich has the story.
Pakistan will go to the polls tomorrow with no incumbent candidate as ex-Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif is disqualified based on allegations of corruption. His voting bloc, however, still holds major sway. The Pakistan Muslim League Nawaz Group, or PMLN's, major rival in the contest, Imran Khan and his PTI, are allegedly being swept into power on the back of the influential military. In a nation which has swung between civilian and military rule since its inception in 1947, the military are never far from the political conversation. Director of the Centre for Muslim States and Societies at the University of Western Australia, Samin Yasmin, outlined their roles so far.
Again, there's a lot of discussion within Pakistan which suggests that military, or often the word that people use, the establishment or the deep state, has played an important role in clearing the space in which the chances for Imran Khan to be the next prime minister are becoming brighter. If you were to ask my opinion, I think the way this whole scenario has played out and the way Imran Khan's PTI has been given more space to operate, the way Pakistan Muslim League Nawaz Group has consistently been targeted, this clearing of the space in which the room for PTI to maneuver is a lot greater and the room for other parties to maneuver, including Pakistan People's Party, suggests that it hasn't happened automatically. There's some orchestration in the background that is leading this to happen. And that because Pakistan military has been so significant in Pakistan's political history, it leads people to suggest, and I'm not so sure to what extent we can actually question that the military has some role to play in this process.
But what the military's ambitions are is still unclear. Whether or not another coup is on the cards following tomorrow's elections is a questionable proposition, according to Professor Yasmin.
My reading is that overall during these experiences, the military has gradually come to a point that in a country with 208 million people, which faces a lot of problems, including terrorism and also continued differences with its neighbors, especially India, it is not in military's interest to get directly involved in politics. Or in other words, it's not in military's interest to impose a martial law and start running the system. My reading is the military's own idea of democracy has suggested that elected leaders who would take into account the interests of the military and military's reading of the situation is considered to be a more viable route. And that's really where I think some of the arguments come in, that they're using political leaders like Imran Khan and even Islamist parties to create that space in which their idea of the polity is taken into account.
Despite the role of the military, the major candidates are running on policy platforms with a strong domestic focus, according to Dr. Claude Rakesitz, Honorary Associate Professor in Strategic Studies at Deakin University.
Well, Imran Khan, the one big thing he's running on is corruption, fighting corruption. He ran on that 5 years ago, and he's running on that again. That's a big thing. Now, corruption is a big issue in Pakistan, admittedly, but is that the biggest issue for people out in the street who want to make sure that there's electricity, that there's employment, that there's better social services and hospitals and schools? Corruption is not the number one. It's all these other issues. Nawaz Sharif, the big thing for him, at least his party, not for him anymore, is infrastructure, building infrastructures. The big thing for him is, of course, this big China-Pakistan economic corridor. And, of course, Pakistan is very much an energy-starved country. And for many hours per day, 10, 15 hours per day in some parts of the country, there's actually no electricity, and you can imagine what that does for the economy.
Whatever happens tomorrow, Professor Yasmin believes that the democratic process in Pakistan is vastly different to what we have here in Australia.
Pakistan's elections are democratic in one way. That's elections are being held and people are going to go and cast their votes. To what extent it's really democratic, I think, is something we need to question. Because at one level, the space has already been created in which one political party has got more space than others. The media, in different ways, has been silenced. So if we look at the need for political parties to operate, media to provide the cathartic space, people to be able to voice their ideas openly and then cast a vote, I think it's not really going to be a democratic election.
Professor Samina Yasmin, Director of the Centre for Muslim Studies and Societies at the University of Western Australia, ending that report by Victor Petrovich.